Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this last year. Thank you for every ability that you have given us and every blessing too. Help us to see what we should do and consider and what the coming year can bring for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. These days, we hope our focus is about glorifying and praising God. This is the time of year when our Gregorian calendar says that a new year is upon us. It is just so common for each of us to examine and to evaluate the past year when we want to consider what changes or improvements we want to make in the coming year. Often, this has to do with what we can acquire, what riches we can get. And this is a part of life. It is. To have things, to have riches, yes. But let's put God first. Let's ask, how can we serve God and follow Jesus Christ? Can we identify these times in which we live? So many Christians, as far as I can tell, believe that we are living in the very last days. I think of 2 Peter 3:3. It talks about in the last days, there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep in death, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So, do you think we are in the last days? Or do you think we are in the last part of the last days? Or will we simply continue as things have been? Well, I do wonder what the coming year holds. There is a big transition in our thoughts to consider if these really are the end days. So many people are thinking that this is. That is, we are getting closer to the end of days. I can only wonder about this and what the events will be. There are many who only can see the rapture as the next event. But a number of people, the number of people who say they are in Christ's church, they are looking more that we will go through the seven-year tribulation. It's growing each and every day, and the answer would be nice to have, wouldn't it? Yes, so let's pray for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us and guide us on that question, and amen. I like to hear what other people believe. I like to hear how they support their position. So I listen. And in the last months, I have heard more people than ever before, a lot more people, talk about we Christians had better get ready for hard times to come here in America. The number of people who say they have heard from God that is increasing and that we Americans need to prepare ourselves for huge shortages, such as for food, and that the economic hard times are coming. So I pray that we pay attention to this trend, and amen. It is easy for us to see this kind of possibility because of our study of history. The patterns in nature and the patterns in mankind, for the good and the bad behavior of men, why, they just continue. And so we all continue to look, to examine this, and it's easy to see that perhaps hard times are coming around the corner. So, we will see what we see. We will see what circumstances will come about and how God speaks to us. But let's have us all prepare for some kind of difficulty. That just seems prudent to me. There are biblical examples. Of course, Noah and Joseph are the obvious ones. But there's other people too. There's obvious examples in Proverbs to remind us to prepare. I know there's Proverbs 22:3. The wise man sees trouble coming and he avoids it. And Proverbs 27:12, the prudent man who sees evil or trouble coming and he hides himself to avoid it. Well, these are examples too. So I see great importance to these words that are repeated in the Bible. And also, be not deceived. Be not deceived! Yes, and that leads me to speak out and say, let's just get a little prepared. Sometimes it's not a welcomed message. Sometimes it's not popular to give to people. But let's just keep in mind that it's in there for a reason. Now, in this last minute, I am going to pretend, I'm just pretending, that my message to you is, God wants you to be rich. God wants your every desire of your heart to be fulfilled. And he wants you to drive a fancy car and live in an expensive house. And that is what lots of people are saying. They say, let us rich folks be an example to others. Because God makes his people rich. Now, that is an example, and I say it's a pretend message I'm giving you, just for this moment. But it's a message that so many people are listening to, because we want to be have riches of the world. And that's also what was common in the Old Testament among the Baal worshippers. It was said to give sacrifices to Baal or the other ancient gods, that those gods would bring riches into your life. Well, that's not what Christianity is about. God of the Bible is not about this. In fact, our path is quite the opposite. And John 16:33 tells us that in this world we will have tribulation. Yep, we will have tribulation. And so, why is Christ's church in this world growing? If there's a message that we will have tribulation and be persecuted, why is the church growing in areas like in Asia? I myself witnessed this from a little distance. So Christ's church, when it is persecuted, it grows. And so why is that? It's because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are real, and people recognize that this is true. This is a real truth, and so people will stand up, and they will even die for the truth. All but one of the apostles did, and today it has been said that there are many tens of thousands of people, perhaps even 100,000 people, saints in Christ, that are martyred for the sake of Jesus Christ every year. Yeah, every year. By some estimates, that's what it is. And Jesus is right with them as they go through this experience of persecution. There's many who have lived through their persecution and said the experience of having Jesus Christ with them through their persecution is so wonderful that they would not give up their persecution if they had to give up their close experience with Christ. Wow, wow, and wow. And I say, so many of us, what do we want to do? We want to avoid pain. We want to avoid hard times. We want to avoid hunger. And this is a good idea. It's a good idea, so how do we do this? By planning, by preparing. Sure, by storing food. You've heard of the Great Depression of the 1930s. My parents and my grandparents lived through that Great Depression. They said if you had a job, you got through the Great Depression okay. But if you didn't have a job, those times were very, very difficult. Today, I've heard many times that over 95 million Americans who want a job cannot find a job. The internet says that in the 1930s, the population of the United States was 123 million. And because of the Great Depression, poverty, there were 7 million Americans who died from starvation. 7 million! Died. And that's about 5% of the U.S. population at that time. 5% who died from starvation in the United States of America. So don't think it can't happen here. our country used to have a reserve of grain. They called that the Strategic Grain Reserve. But we've used it all up, or we gave it away, or we sold it to other countries. And today, our National Grain Reserve holds enough to make one half of a loaf of bread for each citizen of the United States. So, if our nation experiences cooling, maybe from a volcano or some other weather extreme, or maybe an earthquake disrupts our nationwide distribution and trucking, we in America could face a famine. There's other problems which could bring the world into a famine. Perhaps a natural fungus or a grain rust, or perhaps a war. The possible paths to a nationwide or a worldwide famine are just too numerous. You know David Wilkerson. He was a well-known pastor of the Times Square Church in New York City. He had a little fame because of his story and his book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He also had some fame because of his visions from God, especially his second vision from God in 1973, which at that time seemed so out of place that he was very, very concerned about sharing that vision with other people. But he was prompted by God, so prompted by the Holy Spirit that he did share that second version after just a short time, and he warned of a coming hour of persecution, the persecution of all Spirit-filled believers. He warned to get your house in order because hard times were coming. Hard times financially, with hunger and soup lines, and at the same time there would be great earthquakes and a great storm of disasters here in the United States. I'm going to tell you this very shortened version of his 1973 vision that was by David Wilkerson, that there would be worldwide confusion ahead. The American dollar and all other world currencies are headed in for deep trouble. Deep trouble starting first in Europe and then Japan and then the United States. It would go all around the world, and several major corporations would go bankrupt, and the prices of everything would increase. Everything would increase, and so would gold and silver. There was widespread times, or would be widespread times, for a one-world money system, and that would include global taxes. David Wilkerson also said hard times would increase as social aid is cut and unemployment increases. And this results in a civil disorder and violence and bloodshed here in America. And the world will witness history's most drastic weather changes, along with earthquakes and floods and terrible calamities. And it's interesting to note that David Wilkerson did notice, or he saw on the news, that there was the Tangshan earthquake in 1976, where 240,000 people died, and the Indonesian earthquake of 2004, where 230,000 people died, and the Haiti earthquake in 2010, where 220,000 people died, and then there was the 2011 Japanese earthquake and tsunami. And that was a big tsunami, and you know about that. Well, he said the United States will experience the most tragic earthquake in its history, and the U.S. weather will experience extremes, and the U.S. food reserves will dwindle to nearly zero. Famine is coming upon the world, and millions will die of starvation. Wow, that's not a pleasant message to bring. Wouldn't you rather have a little warning? So there's many, many people who have had similar visions, even recently. And from another point of view, there's scientists who are saying that this could happen. There could be historic events in history happening. So, yeah, I think we can think about preparing. We can prepare people, and we want to live through this. We want to make preparations for ourselves, our family, and for others. And you have other insurance. I know you do. We all seem to. And how about if you get some food insurance? I think that kind of makes sense, because if there are food shortages, your money might not buy enough food. Maybe you should just have a little food savings. I know my wife and I, we grind our own whole grain, and she just gets the grinding job done. But I have distinctly noticed that the size of our grain has gotten smaller and smaller over the last maybe 4 years. We buy wheat every year, so I kind of notice it. And I've wondered if that wheat crop is getting less vigorous. It's an unknown, but it's a possibility. And then there's one other factor, and in the last 10 years, the price of wheat and other grains has nearly doubled. So I don't think we're going to get hurt by buying a little bit of grain supplies in advance. So there is a possibility of some great difficulty hitting our nation. And I've heard the Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, he wrote that book, The Harbinger. He is a born-again Christian, and he's been saying that great trouble is coming, that God will decide when it is coming, but his indicators show that it could be upon us at any time. So if we stop to consider the condition of our nation, from whatever it is, from the wheat supplies, no, whatever it is, and how does God view our nation? How does the Holy Spirit view our nation? Well, we are far from His holiness. So will we have His protection if we are far from His holiness? Well, I don't know. It's worth looking at. It means that trouble could be coming. Keep in mind, please, that our battle is primarily a spiritual battle. And we want to have spiritual discernment also, and practical discernment. We want a way to understand what the influences are over our life. A few weeks ago, I said something about communism. I think I'll add to that a little bit right now. The founder of Marxist communism is Karl Marx. He was born about 1818, and in about 1840, he wrote a poem titled Alanium. And the essence of that poem says, A God snatched from me my all. Nothing but revenge is left to me. I play the dance of death. I bring the world to ruins. So apparently, if that's the poem he wrote, apparently those core thoughts are of a man who is speaking his core beliefs, and that would have to have a big influence on the core fundamentals of communism. So as Christians, sure, we stand for righteousness, and we stand against the destructive forces held within a communistic belief system, but we want to remember who the real enemy is. It is Satan. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the works of God. In order to stand strong for God's righteousness, we need a strong, godly spirit, strengthened by godly prayer, godly thoughts, and Bible's really good for that too. We need a strong mind and a strong body, and for that I suggest pure water and good food. And that means without fluoride, without GMOs, and I suggest without any vaccinations at all. You'll have to decide these things, but this is my opinions. And I don't expect anyone to simply follow these ideas or suggestions, but I hope that after you hear these several times from several people, you will be able to consider them as you get more information. The information is available, but if you don't search it out, you won't see it. You won't see that it's important. And there I think about Hosea 4:6, which my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Remember, this world is not looking out for your best interests. No, the government is not. No one is looking out for your best interests. And it surely works the best if you do. You watch out for yourself and your family and for the people around you. We do have a struggle to try to get factual and true information. I don't think there's any easy way for this to happen. And whether the question is fluoride in the water or GMOs in the food or something about cooking oil or about vaccinations, the information is available, but you have to search it out. I think a parallel to understanding this is for you to understand the importance of extra food. You know this, but what does it take to act on it, to actually get that extra or emergency food? You know the concept, but if you study history, you will notice that food was used as a weapon to control and destroy your enemies, those enemies of old. And if you recognize this, you would see the importance of food. All great civilizations have used food to control or destroy others. And that's from Babylon to Egypt to Rome to the Chinese to the European wars to the Nazis to the Russian communists and the Chinese communists. All these have used food as a weapon. We recognize this as true in history, and still we don't seem to recognize it for today. Water has been manipulated in war also, either by withholding it or by poisoning it. So it's just for our consideration to think about this. So for fluoride in modern days, well, sure, it helps with tooth decay. It's a beneficial benefit. But university studies have also showed that it can lower IQ by 4 to 8 points. And it lowers fertility a lot. Plus, it increases docility in the population. And that's why the Nazis used fluoride in the water supply of conquered nations. And Russia put fluoride into the drinking water in their archipelago, which is their prisons. And it also helps to reduce the population of all around us and of Earth. I know, it sounds unreasonable to think that this is a possibility, but it sure does look like it, and just have a look at it yourself. There's a lot of very famous people who have promoted the idea that there's too many people in the world and that we need to eliminate some of the population. You can look at the Georgia Guidestones that call for the Earth's population to be 500 million. Ha! 500 million! Well, that's a huge reduction, isn't it? Yeah. And so, you know, there's that website, deagle.com, and it seems to cater towards people who have a military or a government interest in things. And without any real explanation, it lists the United States population in 2015 at 321 million. But in 2025, the U.S. population is 61 million. And the reason for this is due to the exodus from the United States due to pandemic diseases and poverty. Interesting, isn't it? Well, I don't know what, nobody knows what it is, but it's interesting that that's their ideas. There's another thing about the 2025 date, and that was a few years back in 2001. There was a PowerPoint presentation posted on the NASA website, and apparently it was by accident because it was soon removed. It was titled the future strategic issues of warfare at NASA Langley Research Center. It was given by David Bushnell, the chief scientist there. It was talking about the control of humans and depopulation using technology like EMP and nanodust upon humans. And it was done by various bots or robots to take over human roles. And it noted that human resistance with guns and bullets was portrayed as inadequate or even useless against beamed energy weapons. And a resistant person would have their individual electricity and gas and telephone shut off right quickly. So, can I say this will happen? No, I sure can't. But it's just interesting that this is the direction of thought and, in a sense, planning that's gone into this direction. Perhaps you've noticed over the years that there have been warnings from very many sources, by very many different types of people, that we should get prepared for some sort of a great disaster. In fact, I think we have heard this warning so often that we have gotten numb to hearing that it's a serious message. There is a principle that I have heard. I've heard it explained to me four times in the last 20 years. It's about a code of ethics for the uppermost of the elite. And they do have a stringent code of ethics. And by that code, they are allowed to do anything they want to you, anything at all, as long as they warn you about it first. And the worse the action, the stronger the warning. Now, I don't have firsthand knowledge about this, but it sounded like the men who described this did have firsthand knowledge. And I just have to think about how many, many times I've heard warnings telling us about the possibility of some great catastrophe and that we would do well to get prepared. It seems like I've heard these warnings from every segment of society. There's warnings to be prepared. Warnings, yes, it's seemingly from every area of government, from city government to state government to federal government, the police, the highway patrol, and the health clinics, from corporations of every sort, and volunteer groups and service groups, and special interest groups and scientists and sport groups, four-wheel drive clubs, municipal utilities. All sorts of people have these warnings. FEMA and other emergency services, services to the elder, and even churches also have given warnings. And all this information is widespread and it is available. But we have to do something about it. We hear the warnings, but what have we done? It's just something you have to examine. Each of us must start somewhere where we are. Do we have a few cans? Do we have an extra 25 cans of food or 25 pounds of rice? Do we have sugar, salt, and spices? And don't forget your propane camp stove and matches. Really, look at it. Get a list. A list is important so that you don't buy the same things over and over again. Ha! Like I did. I remember I have like 25 dental flosses because that was something I didn't write down. But each of us have our own little areas that get more attention than probably we should give it. Make a list and follow it. And that way you will remember the important things and have uniform preparations like you want. So unless you have a lot of spare money, it's going to take you some time to get the things on your list. And so that means plan what you want to do. You can have it a plan that you get a number of things per week and maybe a larger budget for the large items. Maybe like bulk foods, maybe like the drums to put it in, or a wheat grinder, or a water purifier, or something else. But if there is a big disaster, there won't be anyone there to help you, probably. And I remember Hurricane Katrina. Maybe you do too. The federal and the state governments had moved many, many people into that sports stadium. And it took a full four days to get a supply of water, bottled water, to those people that had gone into the sports stadium. 4 days without pure water. So those people seeking help, it still took them 4 days to get water. Wow. And then it took close to 2 months for people to get meaningful help. The ones who stayed in their houses, anyway. So we should all be thoughtful. Well, we should all be thankful for any help we get. That's true, too. But we should be thoughtful about what kind of things we want to do, how we want to help ourselves, how we want to build up our storehouses. And the storehouse is a great idea. It's not just for ourselves. We want to be able to help others. We want to be able to show the love of Jesus Christ to others. And that's why we want to have extra stuff on hand for all of that. Extra supplies, yes, it's a good idea. Some people want to invest in their stock markets or their some other paper investment. Or how about Bitcoin? A lot of people see that is going up and up and up. It's gone up so easily. And I think that what goes up easily could come down easily. So as we have these things that we invest in, just be mindful of it. Pay attention to it. If we do have emergency situations, there are big changes that happen. They've always happened in the past, and they would happen in the future. So just keep that in your awareness. If there is a big crash coming, we could have any sorts of changes for anything. When we don't know the time, we don't know that at all. I look back to 1988. It was the world's most important economic magazine called The Economist, and it had a picture on the front cover. That was in 1988, which showed a phoenix, which is the mythological bird, and it symbolized a new currency coming here in 2018. Isn't that interesting? Right at the door, here we are. And that all around it, all the world currencies were burning up around it. Quite an image, huh? Well, that was on that magazine. Here we are in 2018. It's right here at the door. It's a really possibility. We are in a spiritual battle, and the battlefield is everywhere. Just think or imagine. It's everywhere. It's in world trade. It's in terrorism. It's in the Middle East. It's in our government, too, that supplies materials and weapons all over the place. You've heard about the things with the moderate rebels that we have supplied arms to. They're also called ISIS. So, we give things to this government and to that all over the world. Here in the United States, we are up to our eyeballs in world conflict that just could be coming home. Yes, I suppose conflict could be coming to our shores. It's possible. Maybe it'll come to our atmosphere instead of our shores in the form of an atomic blast, you know, like the EMP, electromagnetic pulse. That would leave all of us without cars, without electricity, and we'd be living in the Stone Age, can you imagine? The Stone Age, that's what it would be like. We would not have any of the modern conveniences. And let's see, the U.S. Army, Well, they have hardened their equipment, at least some of it, against EMP, electromagnetic pulse. But the supply line to our military has not been hardened. The Chinese have some of their military hardened against EMP. The Russians have very much hardened their military and their society against EMP. I would suppose that the United Nations peacekeeping forces also have hardened their equipment and such against EMP. Well, it's just one of those things. What do we do? What do we think? Here in the United States, we could be having hunger and riots all over the place. And who would help to restore order? Would our military help? Sure. Would the foreign armies help? Well, we do have agreements in place that would allow foreign military into our country just for that purpose. And that goes for the same for the United Nations peacekeeping forces. There are already agreements in place. Sure, we don't know what'll happen. We're all just guessing here. We're all just taking an examination to see what if. What are the possibilities? It's just interesting. I know another thing I that's kind of associated with this is I wonder about those 1.3 billion bullets that our government has bought. 1.3 billion. That's been in about the more or less last 5 years. That's a lot of bullets. That's 1,300 millions of bullets. 1,300 millions. That's a lot of bullets. What's going on here? Are we headed towards war? It's just a question. I don't know. I know that we're headed for a spiritual war. Well, does that spiritual war become a physical war? Ha! Wow! It just might be. I don't know the answers here. Surprising thoughts, but they're all possibilities. It's not that we know, but we can look at the maybes and say, hey, if this is a maybe, what should I do about it? It's not by our strength that we're going to win any battles. It is by God's strength. It's through the Holy Spirit. That's really what it is. But the possibilities here are so serious that I think it's a good idea to look at what possibilities there are. I know that there's a man I used to listen to, Dr. Stanley Monteith, and he used to talk about this in a little different way. He said that we are in a spiritual battle, and at stake are the souls of men. The battle is spiritual, and it is being played out on a physical, a political, a cultural, and an economic battlefield. Those words are, well, they just kind of get me. So let's fight the good fight, because at stake are the souls of men. With heaven or hell hanging in the balance. Pray, pray, and pray. We are in a spiritual battle. At stake are the souls of men. And it's being played out on a physical, a political, and a cultural, and an economic battlefield. Pray for the unsaved. Pray that we go through this trial faithfully to Jesus Christ. I think that prayer makes things happen, or it allows the openings for it to happen. Prayer is always going to be so important. It allows things to happen that maybe wouldn't be normal to happen, but they do happen because we pray. So pray, and you know what I always say is think, plan, and do. Think, plan, and do. I think those are words we can always be paying attention to. And what would you do if we actually were headed towards a war? Oh, sure, war. Spiritual war, physical war. What does that mean? It could mean hunger, starvation, and these things seem to go together in a war. A spiritual war, a physical war, there's a real connection. So do we have 7 good years to go? Do we have 7 weeks to go? I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows that answer. But events can happen very quickly. That's why they surprise us. We get surprises. That's just how life goes. I know in the 2008 mini crash that happened on Wall Street, it was a surprise. 9/11 was a surprise that those New York Trade Towers went down. And we have other events in the last 100 years which were mostly a surprise. They were a surprise not to everyone, but they were a surprise. Things they are surprises. 1929 economic crash and depression, that was a surprise. The 1912 Titanic sinking, that was a surprise. The unsinkable Titanic, it hit an iceberg. It was a surprise. Yes, surprises do happen, so get a little prepared. Everyone has a different idea about what they want and what they need. Clean water and good food you always need. And there are other things on your list. Everybody has their own list. Think, plan, and do. Remember to help one another. You want to share wisely and prudently. Remember, Joseph did not just open up those granaries in Egypt. He didn't just give it all away and say, "Here, have all the corn and wheat you want to." Joseph was a steward for Pharaoh, and today we are stewards for God. We all want to deal wisely and prudently with that which God has entrusted us. A big event could happen quickly. Even if we don't know exactly when, we have the sense that it could happen any time. Recently, I've heard a local pastor preach, and he said, "We can feel the darkness coming upon our nation. But do not despair, for where there is darkness, the light shines even greater out of the darkness, and we are the light of Christ to the world." Surely, there are shiny things which get our attention, lights and mirrors, makeup, smartphones, TVs, they get all our attention, but we want to be light that shines in this world. We are the light. So look and see how evident the mind of God is, and we want to join with that. Often it's easy to overlook things. It's easy even to be deceived in a spiritual sense or in a physical sense. It's similar spiritually and physically in a way to make these plans. We want to practice. We want to get discerning. We want to get better. And it's not always easy. But we want to be thoughtful and careful. And we want to do something. Please, do something. And I say remember to eliminate all the debt that you can. All the debt that you have, eliminate it. Bankrupt people have a way of crashing. And so do bankrupt nations. Remember a million, billion, and trillion. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. The USA has over $20 trillion of national debt. The USA pays $266 billion of interest per year on our national debt. And that is with these very low interest rates. I'd rather spend that $266 billion on the needs of our citizens or for roads and bridges. That's what I'd rather spend the money on. Our national debt is very great, but if we work at paying it off, it can be reduced. And if we do not, history shows us that a kind of a crash is inevitable. So we could lose a lot of things if our economy crashes, from material things to all of our freedoms. But keep your outlook positive. Remember that our hope is in Jesus. And look at how to fix our problems in a practical way. We can always use biblical examples. We can always identify those problems and make a plan to fix those problems. That's how we get out of this trouble. After all, these problems, they won't go away by themselves. Our national debt won't go away all by themselves. We have problems to solve. And we just need to pay attention to it and get a plan going here. Let's make our country godly again. Let's do that right now. We start now. And we can have the joy in the Lord while we are doing it. We can put God right with us, right here, right now. And we can overcome all of our problems. Yes, we can do it. We can do it. Let's live our lives as though right now we're ready to meet Jesus. Just think past the deceptions and the divisions which are going on. And think about our life now. Think about presenting ourselves to, if Jesus returns, when he returns, or if we go to see him. Sure, think about the things in the past. Think about the problems, yes, but don't focus on them. Think about the joy and hope that is in Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. We can certainly think about the things that are problems. We can think about evolution. Now, that's something that's affecting our nation right now. And we have to recognize that these are things that are affecting our whole society. Evolution. It's changing our thoughts to go from God's orientation to man's orientation. And we want to represent God through Jesus Christ and to the people of the world, to people of our country. We know that if we disagree with the Bible and don't do what it says to do, we are saying that we know as well as God what to do, because he tells us what to do, and if we don't do it, we're saying we know better than God. So that, in a sense, is making us equal to God, and we are not supposed to do that. So just think of Matthew 10:28, which speaks about fearing him, which is able to destroy our body and our soul in hell. It's a concept that I think of means, it talks about the fear of the Lord. And it makes me think of the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua it says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." He's talking to the people who have left through the Exodus. He's saying to the Hebrew children that you're serving the gods of Egypt. Don't do that. Serve the living God. And Joshua proclaimed, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's what we want to do. Serve the Lord. Yes. And now we have some serious words. Words of caution, words to the church. It's to the body of Christ. And so let's hear what our brother in Christ has to say. They're serious thoughts, but they're appropriate. We live in serious times. So let's pray to God about what he would have us to do. Amen.
The reason I've requested to come back on is because the church in America is in bad shape. Not in a material fashion, but in a spiritual sense. We are destitute spiritually because we count our material wealth as riches. We have a problem in the church, and I've come to determine It is a problem due to the shallowness of our commitment to Christ. Our desire to take the easy way out and not study Scripture as we are commanded to do. We heap up teachers, going from one to another, looking to find what we want to hear. We don't study Scripture. Indeed, it would seem we deem it unworthy of our time. Yet this is not the only problem by any sense. Yet all other problems stem from our unwillingness and a steadfast refusal to study God's Word for ourselves. This is what has led to this influx of the new type of spiritualism that seems to have invaded our churches, spiritualism which has been successfully traced back to India and other Far Eastern countries. It is occultism masquerading as Christianity, and it has pervaded into the heart and mind of the American Christian Church. We must recognize that the responsibility for discernment and study falls on us individually and take every step in searching, studying, knowing, and understanding what God has told us through His Word. The Holy Bible is the foundational document of Christ's Church. If we don't firmly root ourselves in it, we will be led astray and deceived. We must confront ourselves with whether we are willing to do the work involved to gain the discernment needed to come to the understanding of the truth. Sadly, the tragic state of those who call themselves Christs is undeniably due to the fact that too many of us are not willing to study God's Word and do the needed work we are called to do. We are lazy, self-absorbed, and full of excuses in every sense. We want to use God and take all we can while returning the minimal service and the lightest of commitment. We want to justify our position by only focusing on one aspect of the Gospels and epistles, while deeming the rest as unimportant because it doesn't fit in with the rest of our predetermined position. We want salvation without surrender. We want understanding without study, and blessing without holiness. We are in bad shape as we teach bliss, prosperity, and don't fear God, love Him messages from the pulpit. We strive to conform God into the image we want to accept at the cost of creating a new God. We want what God can give us, but what are we willing to give in return? Christ has made it very clear that anyone who will save his life will lose it, and anyone who will lose his life for Christ's sake will save it. He said, "Any man who will follow after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." He said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." He said, "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. For straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." He said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Yes, indeed, we want the blessings, but are we actually willing to pay the price necessary to secure that blessing? Are we indeed willing to lay down our lives, let go of our passions, and surrender to the Lord? Don't think God is blind. Don't fool yourself into thinking there is any such thing as secret sin. Don't think you can get away with what God has told you not to do. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Whosoever soweth to the flesh will reap corruption. But whosoever soweth to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. Don't think you can dishonor God and get away with it. The Scripture clearly says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." God is holy, he is just, and he will repay. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Who are we to dare to defy God? It is a time for us to fear God and turn back to Him with sincere and repentant hearts, that we may be blessed, and He might blot out our trespasses. Folks, it's the church that is forcing God to bring judgment on our country, and it is at the very verge of descending. Let us return to God with sincere and repentant hearts and pray that God will forgive us our great trespass. Folks, this is not a game. God will judge. God is merciful, he is loving, but he is holy, and he has a holy standard. Let us seek the Lord humbly and see if he will forgive us. The time is short, for God's justice cannot and will not be postponed forever. God's judgment is absolute and devastating. Don't fear man, fear God. Wake up, study, that you might be able to discern the days in which we're living. Study that you are not deceived. We are faced with a fearful reality. God will reward unto every man what he has done in his body. The time is short. Seek God's forgiveness and mercy. There is only one way to escape God's wrath, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If he is not your Savior, or if you are not sure, now is the time to seek him in humble fashion, for hell is real, and if we do not come to Jesus for salvation, we are sure to end there, where God pours out his wrath on all who reject the gift of his precious Son. Study, folks. Open God's word and see if you are willing to surrender your life to Christ. Study and see if you are willing to pay the price for refusing this opportunity. If you hear him calling you, do not harden your heart. Now is the acceptable day of salvation. God is loving, but this is not the end of his nature, nor is he bound and shackled by his love. What God decrees is law, and he has laid out his plan for salvation in his word, the Holy Bible. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It is time for us to revere and fear God once more, and to surrender our all to him, not holding back for ourselves, lest we too end as Ananias and Sapphira. Folks, God is good. He is patient and long-suffering. But as in Sodom and Gomorrah of old, there is a point where God will not allow his holiness and justice to go past. We are not far off. This is the acceptable day of salvation. Seek God to see if you might be saved. Pray, study, listen, then obey. Test the spirits, know the scripture, count the costs. And may God bless you and lead you.
These are some serious thoughts and appropriate thoughts because we are in serious times. Pray about what God would have you to do. And if you want to hear this message again, listen at www.christtoday.org. All lowercase, no spaces. www.christtoday.org. See what God would have you to do. Thank you for listening to Christ Today. And may you walk with God. And may God walk with you. Amen. Give me passion.